All right, let's get started here. It is 9 January. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CGE Prophecy Report. The IRS wants its cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, so we got some news from Israel today from the Al Jazeera. Lapid says Israel will act alone against Iran if necessary. I saw an article just yesterday, may have been this morning, where it may be necessary because the U.S. is doing exactly what you would expect of these people that are in the White House right now. Israel will act alone to prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear threshold state if necessary, Israeli foreign minister said, tweeting that Israel would prefer international cooperation but must protect its security. He stated that Jerusalem is not opposed to the reaching of a deal per se, only one that has no possibility of genuine oversight on the nuclear program, Iranian money, or the Iranian terrorist network. The JCPOA, from which President Trump withdrew in 2018, did not block Iran's path to the bomb, said former Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Ron Dermer. It basically guarantees that Iran is going to become a military nuclear power. The JCPOA, he said, has put us on cruise control heading over a cliff. So that is true. That's why President Trump pulled us out of it. And of course, we have the people doing right now what they should not be doing by trying to reinstate it. And in the process, they've enriched Iran to the point where they can go out and do all of their bad stuff that they were doing without any checks or balances in the past, which were almost completely behind us because of our President Trump. And now they're right back in the stream of things. Whatever. Breitbart, BBC third on most anti-Semitic list. The BBC, not a nation, not a Muslim group. The BBC, third on most anti-Semitic list. Only after Iran and Hamas. The head of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Marvin Heer, told the Daily Mail that people might be surprised to see the BBC on our list. I'm not. But the decision to place the BBC at number three came after months of intense debate and discussion. We believe the BBC has been guilty of several anti-Semitic incidents over the past year. People might think we would designate neo-Nazi groups on our list, but the BBC is there because when a globally recognized organization allows anti-Semitism to infiltrate its reporting, it makes it all the more insidious and dangerous. People all over the world trust the BBC and rely on it for truthful reporting on world events. Iran came in first, followed by the Iran-backed Palestinian terror group Hamas, which rules the Gaza Strip. Heer cited the BBC's reporting of an attack this month in London on a busload of Jewish teenagers during Hanukkah holiday by a group of men who chanted anti-Israel slogans. The report claimed that one of the apparent victims used an Islamophobic slur. So the person that got detonated, I'm talking not the detonator, but one of the people that got killed, was accused of making an Islamophobic slur. The BBC falsely reported that a victim on the bus used an anti-Muslim slur, but what was heard on tape was a distressed Jewish man speaking in Hebrew, appealing for help. The Simon Wiesenthal Center also cited a BBC journalist who in 2014 tweeted that Hitler was right. So there you go with that. Okay, I failed to announce something at the beginning of the report that I should have announced because we're a little off today. One of the guys that opens us is sick, and so I filled in for him. And because of that, I forgot to tell the people that don't attend the Thursday night Bible study, shame on them, that we now have two new residents of the United States of America. If you know Sergio and Rhoda from Sergio and Rhoda in Israel, about 5 days ago, they received their green cards. They've been applying for them for a long, long time. They finally received them 3 days ago. Actually, it's been 4 days now, and they booked flights, and they flew right to America. And they got off the plane, and the first thing they did was break into tears at their joy of being in America. And so they will be living here, and they will still continue with Sergio and Rhoda in Israel videos. But those videos will be filmed and then brought back to the U.S. to process instead of just sitting in Israel and processing them. So they're very happy about that. They are here in Florida. Right now they're in Fort Lauderdale for a month. And then after that, they're going to wind their way, hopefully, to Sarasota, you know, in the very near future after that. But we'll wait and see what their ultimate plans are. But they are here in America, and so we're all very happy about that. Welcome to them. Okay, from the Times of Israel, a fifth of wild cranes in Israel thought to be infected with fatal bird flu. One in five of the wild cranes living in or migrating through Israel have been infected with the fatal H5N1 bird flu virus. I don't know if you saw that one video that Sergio and Rhoda did, but they went to that park in the middle of Israel and they filmed these birds. They're beautiful. They're wonderful birds, and about a fifth of them have got the virus and are dying all over the place. Authorities expecting to have to remove 25 to 30 tons of carcasses. The virus is believed to have spread from Moshav Margalot on the Lebanese border, where 244,000 laying hens were housed in 60 coops, supplying 6 million eggs monthly out of the 200 million eggs Israelis consume each month. According to the agricultural ministry, the farmers there failed to report in real time the rising number of poultry deaths, leading to the virus spreading rapidly. Many of the chickens were dead by the time ministry inspectors arrived, and the rest were culled. In one coop, only 70 chickens were found alive out of 2,000. That was a real blunder, and those people ought to have their chicken licenses pulled for that. Yeah, Epic Times. Israel set to lift all COVID-19 travel bans amid Omicron wave. So go get your tickets and fly to Israel. I wouldn't do it. The way that they've handled the last year, shutting people down when they've got tickets and just saying, oh, we're canceling all flights. They've done it four times now. I wouldn't go. I'd wait until you have at least 6 or 7 months worth of planes flying back and forth with people before you decide to go to Israel. And remember, you've got to be vaxxed, you've got to be boosted, you've got to be ready to get your fourth booster shot. And when you get there, they're probably going to have you in quarantine for, you know, 10 of your 12 days on vacation. So just keep all that in mind. Okay, we have some news concerning Christianity today from Breitbart. Nigeria, dozens killed, abducted on Christmas after jihadists demand churches closed. Did anybody hear about that anywhere? Of course not. They're Christians. Breitbart, Anglican bishop condemns Christmas suicide bombing in DR Congo as cowardice. A presumed, I like how they say that, a presumed Islamic terrorist blew himself up in restaurant on Christmas Day in the DRC, killing 5 Christians and himself and injuring 14 more. You hear about that one? No, nobody here did. Okay. That's because they're Christians. From Great Britain News, Archbishop of Canterbury. There are real reasons to hope on climate action. The Archbishop of Canterbury has urged the public not to despair over climate change, like we're all despairing in this church, I guarantee you. As he said, there are real reasons to hope in 2022. When it comes to climate change, it is tempting to despair, but there are real reasons for hope. People of every background are campaigning and working for justice. Tell me what that has to do with climate change. Can somebody tell me that? Mr. Welby had joined Pope Francis and dozens of religious leaders in signing a joint appeal to governments to commit to ambitious targets at the COP26 climate summit. In a speech given in Rome ahead of the summit, Welby said over the past 100 years, humanity had declared war on creation and must repent by not only building a green economy, but by bringing justice to the global south. So that's what it's all about. Just get rid of all the climate stuff, and that is what this is about. It's taking your money and sending it to somebody else. That's all this is about. From VOA, Tutu. Desmond Tutu punched his ticket. Tutu's advocacy for LGBTQ rights did not sway most of Africa. This guy, I knew nothing about the guy. I didn't follow him. I couldn't have cared he was an Anglican archbishop or something, and come to find out that he was way into the LGBT stuff. So glad I never followed him. Desmond Tutu is being remembered for his passionate advocacy on behalf of LGBTQ people, as well as his fight for racial justice. But the South African Archbishop's campaign against homophobia had limited impact in the rest of Africa, where same-sex marriage remains illegal and most countries criminalize gay sex. As long as the religious leaders are unwilling to interpret the Bible from the lens of love for all, as Tutu did, homophobia and transphobia will remain a part of our lives, Yvonne Wamari said. Tutu was mocked in 2013 by Robert Mugabe, the then repressive leader of Zimbabwe. Tutu should just step down because he supports gays, something that is evil. That same year, Tutu uttered one of his most memorable comments about LGBTQ inclusion. Here's what he said. "I would not worship a god who is homophobic," he said. "I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, I would say sorry. I would much rather go to the other place." And off he goes. That's right. Yeah, he built himself a diving board so he could do a splendid somersault into the lake of fire. Absolutely. Some news from Mideast and Africa today. From Breitbart, man armed with box cutter arrested after threatening people in French church. A source close to the investigation, this is about a week ago now, said the man showed signs of mental illness. Every single article that I've read in the past 3 years has said the exact same thing. And will be given psychiatric evaluation to confirm any suspicions he may be suffering from mental health problems. That's their answer for everything. When somebody blows up a building, they take the pieces of his body and they try to analyze if he had mental illness out of it. It's insane. It's insane. Breitbart. Sweden has seen over 80 explosions and bombings in 2021. Yeah, Mary Borg, section manager at Sweden's National Bomb Protection, a division of the Swedish police, stated that the 80 or so bombings and explosions are more often than not linked to gang crime and gun violence, a substantial problem in Sweden in its own right. Borg told SVT that the creation of the bomb center has led to prosecutions against those making bombs and carrying out bombings, but noted the overall bombing trend could not be solved within the period of just a year. However, few bombings in Sweden are ever solved, with a report from 2020 revealing that despite there being an estimated 257 explosions in 2019, just 7 people were convicted in connection to bombings that year. Okay, they're not looking in the right places. They're not following the right people because it would be politically incorrect to do so. That's why they're having these problems. From the New York Post, Canada breaks record by welcoming over 400,000 immigrants in 2021. They're going to cease to be the nation that they are very soon. And then things are going to start happening and those people are going to wish that they had not done what they had done. And don't get me wrong, we're doing the same thing here. What's that? That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen when things go south and the world starts having, all the problems that are predicted in the Bible as far as things devolving. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be coming over the border and they're going to be doing their damage down here. From Reuters, Venezuela's president to visit Iran very soon. Venezuelan President Maduro said he will soon visit Iran to finalize new agreements on cooperation with the Mideast country, which has become Venezuela's top ally in boosting oil output amid U.S. sanctions. Venezuela and Iran have strengthened their ties since last year. What happened last year? Maduro's government has received vital equipment for its oil industry from Iran, which in turn has received crude from other primary resources from the South American country. Iran has been crucial for Venezuela's rising oil production in 2021. "I'm going to Tehran very soon for a visit that President Raisi offered me so that we meet in person to hold conversations and sign new agreements and speed up processes of cooperation. The tightening of U.S. sanctions since 2019 has affected Venezuela's ability to sell crude and import fuel, which has exacerbated gasoline shortages across the country." What does that mean? Sanctions actually work, right? They just admit it in their article and they're saying that they don't work in Iran and they've got to do this deal. And before they do the deal, they've given them $30 billion. But sanctions do work. JNS. Analysis. If Israel strikes Iran, Hezbollah's Nasrallah will obey Iranian orders. This is something Israel has to consider. While Israel has refrained from publicly setting clear red lines to act as precise markers for a threshold that, if surpassed by Iran's nuclear program, would trigger an Israeli attack, it is clear that Jerusalem has been sending warning signals about Iran's approach towards the danger zone. These warnings appear in part to be growing louder in the vacuum left behind of a lack of credible American military threat in the event of an Iranian decision to break out to a nuclear weapon, and Washington's priority of pivoting towards superpower competition with China and Russia. As Israel's warning grows louder and Iran's nuclear program continues to make centrifuges that enable it, it is natural to wonder about the multiple scenarios that a theoretical Israeli future strike could lead to. History has demonstrated that the course of wars is not deterministic, and the question of what would follow an Israeli strike on Iranian nuclear sites is no different. The key question is whether Hezbollah's Secretary General Nasrallah will launch a full-scale assault on Israel from Lebanon if he receives the order from Khamenei to do so. In light of the fact that Hezbollah poses the number one conventional military threat to Israel today, and that any multi-front conflict would be dominated by the Lebanese arena due to Hezbollah's enormous arsenal of projectiles, this question is a top priority issue for the Israeli defense establishment's planners. It is impossible to imagine a scenario in which Nasrallah would reject an Iranian directive to act in retaliation. The next question centers around the scope of that retaliation. Should Iran instruct Hezbollah to enter into a full-scale conflict with Israel, it would be difficult to imagine Nasrallah turning this down as well. After all, it was Iran that sent Hezbollah into the bloody battlefields of Syria for years. Any hopes that Nasrallah would limit Hezbollah's response to an Israeli attack on Iran should therefore not guide Israeli policy, planning, or resource allocation. We'll keep our eyes on that. I said a month or two ago when things started to devolve in Lebanon to keep your eyes on Lebanon, because they have the power when the government is not working properly. And the people, of course, are going to turn to somebody when they can't feed themselves. And Hezbollah is being funded by Iran. And so Hezbollah may be the people to keep our eyes on. But one way or another, we want to continue to watch Lebanon. From the Times of Israel, U.S. pledges $99 million of your tax dollars to Palestinian Refugee Agency, UNRWA. The previous president, our President Trump, cut everything to them. Because what do they do with that money? They take their money and they fund killing Jews, okay? It's called pay to slay. And this is their priority in that nation. It does not matter if this money goes into this pot or this pot or this pot. If it goes here, then they don't have to take care of those people. They have more over here. It doesn't matter. It's one big pot. Okay. The State Department's Population, Refugee, and Migration Bureau said on Twitter that the money to the UN Relief and Works Agency will provide education, health care, and emergency relief to hundreds of thousands of Palestinian children and families during a time of need. In April, Biden's administration announced that it would begin restoring funding to the Palestinians via UNRWA, which aids Palestinian refugees and their descendants, as Washington sought to restore ties with Ramallah following a freeze during the admin of President Trump. Our tax dollars just being frittered away all over the world by giving it to people that have nothing but evil intent for us and for our allies. Epic Times, Turkey officials say inflation jumped 36% amid ongoing lira woes. It went way up all of a sudden. But I saw something just yesterday. This was earlier, just yesterday, that he had done something and stemmed a tide temporarily. He did something with the money. I didn't have time to read the article. Maybe I'll include it next week. But Turkey's annual inflation soared to its highest level in 19 years back in December, according to data from the Turkish Statistical Institute published this past Monday. So bad stuff over there, but Erdogan was able to stem it somehow. He probably robbed Peter to pay Paul, and now they're going to have more troubles down the road. That's my guess, but I just didn't have time to read that article. Now something interesting from Mongolia, from Mail Online. Don't move. Cow gets stranded on a roof after it walks up snow ramp, which then melts in Mongolia. He walked up a snow ramp, the snow melted, and they got photos of this cow up on a roof. The cow's owners tried to use a forklift to get the stuck bovine off the roof. Attempts to get the skittish cow down caused it to run onto neighboring roofs. Eventually, the cow jumped down from the lowest point without any injuries. Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Epic Times. China pursues brain control weaponry in bid to command future of warfare. They've got all kinds of stuff like this going on. This is one article. China is really pushing the warfare button lately. Once believed to only exist in sci-fi movies, the weaponization of the brain has been discussed by Chinese military officials for years. The study into brain science was born out of a vision for how the future warfare would evolve. Such research has an extremely strong military characteristic and is crucial to securing a strategic high ground for every country. According to research papers and articles in military newspapers, Chinese military officials see four areas where innovations in brain science could be weaponized. Brain emulation refers to the development of high-intelligence robots that function like humans. Brain control is the integration of humans with machines into one, allowing soldiers to perform tasks ordinarily impossible to them. Superbrain involves the use of electromagnetic radiation, such as infrasonic waves or ultrasound, to stimulate human brains and activate the brain's latent potential. The fourth, termed controlling the brain, is about applying advanced technology to interfere with and manipulate how people think. Two faculty members with the military-affiliated Army Medical University in a 2018 paper discussed their state-funded project researching a piece of biotechnology dubbed psychovirus. Applied in the military, such psychological weapon could help develop super warriors and who are loyal, brave, and strategic. In wars, the psychovirus could manipulate the consciousness of the enemies, crush their will, and interfere with their emotions to make them submit to the will of our side. So this is the things that they're doing, and I guarantee you our people are doing the same thing. We just have different limitations on what we can do with human brains in our society because of, you know, the morals that are put forth. Yeah, maybe. But compared to Chinese, all they say is, we need a volunteer. Here, you come here. And they start experimenting. Nobody's going to say anything against the regime. Okay. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From the Daily Voice, outbreak of drug-resistant superbug under investigation in the United States. The Oregon Health Authority said that three cases of the so-called superbug, the first ever in the state's history, have been detected. The infection has only recently appeared in the United States after being first identified in 2009 in Asia. The first Oregon case involved a patient who had recent international healthcare exposures. The other two cases did not have international healthcare exposures, but had epidemiologic links to the first case, indicating the healthcare-associated spread of Candida auris to the second and third patients. If it can spread that quickly between people, it could be a real concern. And we have nothing that can fight against it. They have to get every antibiotic known to man and just keep pumping into these people in hopes of saving their lives. Zero hedge. China panic hoards half of the world's grain supply amid threats of collapse. About 2.5 years ago, we told readers China was panic hoarding food, which was several months before the virus pandemic began to spread worldwide, like they had notice or something. Beijing has managed to stockpile more than half of the world's maize and other grains that have resulted in rapid food inflation and triggered famine in some countries. In August 2019, we asked the question, does China believe that we are on the verge of major global crisis? The Communist Chinese government has always been very big into planning, and it appears that they have decided that now is the time to hoard food, gold, and other commodities. Fast forward today, the answer is most likely yes. China maintains historically high levels of beans and grain stockpiled at 310 storage facilities in the northeastern part of the country. Qin Yuyun told reporters last month, our wheat stockpiles can meet the demand for 1.5 years. There's no problem whatsoever about the supply of food. Data from the U.S. DOA shows China has approximately 69% of the globe's maize reserves in the first half of the crop year 2022, 60% of its rice, and 51% of its wheat. Since the Chinese plan multiple years out, a series of disasters and weather events have likely led state officials to forecast a troublesome period of food shortages. China has already observed droughts, floods, and pests that have ruined harvests. The one thing Beijing cannot have is discontent among its citizens triggered by food shortages and or soaring prices. That's why central planners spent $98.1 billion importing food in 2020, up 4.6 times from a decade earlier. For the first 8 months of this year, China imported more than in 2016 combined. China's acquisition of the world's food supply has helped push food prices to decades high. The Ministry of Commerce has even told households to stock up on food, something I reported on a month or so ago, in case of emergencies, all under the guise of the virus pandemic. So without a doubt, Beijing has been stockpiling food to avoid a collapse as central bankers have yet to figure out how to print food from thin air. There you go. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Breitbart, And tell me you've ever heard this title before in your life. Trans pedophile who identifies as 5-year-old girl attends court dressed as an elf. Oh boy. Yeah, this is the UK for you. Danielle, you know, I was thinking this morning. I read an article, I don't have to report on it now, that NASDAQ has gone, I'm sorry, not NASDAQ, what's the NASCAR? NASCAR has gone LGBT. It's the last sports venue in the U.S. that has gone this way. It was all, you know, country boys out there. They've gone LGBT. Oh, and we're talking, it was on that direction. That's right. But I can tell you that this is over, what, 3% of the population? We're talking about 3% maybe of the population, and we are caving on this. Well, this is the kind of stuff that you get when you have that attitude. Danielle Veriner, 60. Guy, 60 years old. Of High Street, Chatham, arrived at Maidstone Crown Court in a green and red outfit with a festive cardigan and an elf-style Christmas hat and bells. Veriner was summoned to court following a breach of sexual harm order imposed in 2016. Gateway Pundit. Mother uses Christmas card to announce her kindergartner is non-binary. I just thought I'd throw this in there because this is what we're facing in this nation and around the world right now. Young adult author and L.A. mother Jennifer Chen says she's so proud of her kindergarten-aged daughter that decided she wanted to be non-binary and use they, them, he pronouns. A child at that age knows nothing except what the parents teach. The child named Claire at birth now wants to be referred to as Clark, and Chen asked her friends to refer to Clark as her son who is non-binary. And Chen asked her friends to refer to Clark as her son, who is non-binary. Chen posted their family Christmas photo on Instagram. The card shows a photo of herself, her husband Brendan, and her twin children, Chloe and Clark. She concluded the post by saying, "I ask that if you disagree with our family's choice, that you tell me privately in a message, rather than put it in a public comment. So you're bold enough to have the whole world call your girl a boy or a boy a girl, but you're not willing to have people disagree with you. Exactly. Not everyone will understand our decision to respect Clark's choices, but we love Clark and that's all that matters." BBC. Ethical non-monogamy, the rise of multi-partner relationships. This is what the BBC is highlighting right now. Breitbart. Abortion is the leading global cause of death in 2021, with 43 million killed. Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons from the Epic Times. Not the Onion. Does everybody know what the Onion is? It's like the Babylon Bee. It's a fake news source that's left-leaning, but not the Onion. IRS wants its cut. No kidding. Yes. Its cut from looters and other thieves. Yes, the IRS realizes the rampant crime wave in Democrat-run cities is an opportunity for the tax man. And Fifth Amendment protection from self-incrimination apparently doesn't apply to filing income tax returns. The IRS seems to believe if you steal property, this is a quote from the IRS, if you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless you return it to its rightful owner in the same year. This is right from the IRS. The IRS told these sticky-fingered Americans. The agency also reminded those who've pocketed any cash selling narcotics or through any number of unspecified illegal activities to report their earnings.
Oh, now they're going to rush.
Yes, they're going to rush to pay it. You know, you are working in the government. We got one person that's working in the government here. I won't say who it is, but this is what is happening in our government right now. Income from illegal activities. This is a quote from them. Such as money from dealing illegal drugs must be included in your income on Schedule 1, Form 1040, Line 8Z, or on Schedule C, Form 1040. If from your self-employment activity, the Bureau said. The IRS did not say whether career thieves could deduct work expenses such as ski masks, crowbars, and getaway vans on their tax forms. This is the world that we're living in. Can you imagine this? The U.S. government. CNBC. Economists warn of inflation inequity as poor get slammed by rising prices. That's who's being hurt with this. The poorer you are, the more what is happening in this world is affecting you. Unfortunately, there's a group of people out there that are so dumb that they will continue to vote for the same thing again and again and again because they get a certain amount of money, and they get it, and they don't have to do anything for it, and they will continue to do this. They will vote that way, never understanding that everything in their life is affected heavily by this. They think they're getting a free ride. They're not. They're being punished. They're being deprived of their dignity. Okay? Okay, so an analysis by Penn Wharton Budget Model found that low and middle income households spent about 7% more in 2021 for the same products they bought in 2020 or in 2019, an average of about $3,500. Experts now fear that poverty will rise in early 2022 as pandemic-related federal benefits phase out and Biden's sweeping social spending package languishes in Congress. Oh, so it's Manchin's fault that they're not going to get their money now. Good. Good. He's the only thing. I got to say, he's a Democrat, but he is the only thing that has saved this nation from complete calamity over the past 5 months. Yeah, he is at least a man of integrity. Even if he is on the left and he's voting all these other crazy things, he understands the state that this nation will be in if he caves. And now he's just stringing them along. They offer him something. He says, well, bring it to a vote. And then he says, I'm not going to do it. This is like the fifth time now. This guy is wonderful. Even though he's over there, I can't say too wonderful. Okay. I'm just, but maybe he'll just change parties and come over. Who knows what he's going to do? But he is the only thing literally that is saving us from economic disaster in this nation. It's one guy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gateway Pundit, lawmaker. Talking about that last article, we were out at the projects yesterday, and one of the people that we were walking with said, you know what, I went to the store a day ago, and I bought, some salad to last me the week, just a few groceries, not much, bread, salad, a few things. I got to the checkout counter, and it was $60, $60 for almost nothing. I was there today buying some stuff and it was about the same. And, I didn't buy a lot because you brought in the cake and we have, whatever. We don't have a lot of people here. I knew there wouldn't be, so I didn't overdo it today. But, we're spending a lot of money on very little compared to just a short time ago. Gateway Pundit, lawmaker, Joe Biden reallocated $2 billion in COVID testing funds to house illegals at the border. He took the COVID money and he sent it down there. Yes. And this is a national crisis. New Yorkers are waiting in an endless line for hours in the cold to get their test kits so they can go back to work, school, or visit family because Biden took the COVID relief money and sent it to house unvaccinated, untested illegals at the border. There ought to be an impeachment. If the Republicans win, if they win, the first day that they are in office, the first day they need to bring articles of impeachment against this person and end this. JTN, New York City to provide vending machines with clean syringes and heroin overdose treatments for drug users. Well, it hasn't worked anywhere else, but we'll try it here. Okay, they've been doing this in cities all over the Northwest, and now New York City, it's going to work this time. New York City, in an effort to combat the rising number of drug overdoses, is establishing a program that will install public health vending machines stocked with sterile syringes and the drug naloxone and additional drug paraphernalia. The New York City Department of Health reported that in 2020, more than 2,000 people in the city died from unintentional drug overdoses, a record figure for the agency. The report found that poor Black and Latino communities reported the highest number of overdoses. The Fund for Public Health in New York, the nonprofit that issued the proposal requesting the vending machines, wrote in the proposal about the need for the initiative as a way to combat racial inequity. Unbelievable. Racial equity does not mean simply treating everyone equally, but rather allocating resources and services in such a way that explicitly addresses barriers imposed by structural racism and white privilege, reads the proposal. This is their justification for putting all this more drugs into these areas for these people. The project will cost taxpayers an estimated $730,000. Shortly before the new year, New York became the first U.S. city to give the go-ahead to a number of supervised illegal drug use locations. Supervised illegal drug use locations. Another effort to combat the ongoing opioid epidemic and heightened number of overdoses across the city. So they're supervising illegal drug use locations. All of them need to be put in jail. All of them. From the Epoch Times, Biden administration takes down post on potential terrorist apprehended at the southern border. We reported on him a week or two ago. We can't let the public know about that. A December 2021 tweet on the matter has since been deleted as it contained law enforcement sensitive information violating agency protocols. That's what they said. A similar situation played out in April when CBP announced that two Yemeni nationals on the FBI's terrorism watch list were apprehended at the border. In that case, the agency issued a statement detailing the arrests. That release was pulled within days. The news release in question was not properly reviewed and contained certain disclosure and policy information related to national security. Yeah, that American citizens could actually be killed by these people. Okay. Security that required CBP to remove it from our website, the agency said at the time. The Biden admin is presiding over the worst illegal immigration surge in U.S. history, and Republicans say the crisis involves terrorists, no kidding, and people with terror links. And they won't let you know. They're taking it down from the website so that you are not informed that you could be exploded tomorrow by somebody coming over the southern border. Zero Hedge. Biden approval rating plunges below Kamala's, new Gallup survey finds. Zero Hedge. Illinois breaks record for population loss, out-migration in 2021. People are leaving Illinois in droves. Zero Hedge. Chicago reports 797 murders for 2021, most of any U.S. city. You think people want to stay there when their taxes are way up here? They got people that aren't allowed to do their jobs in the police department and everybody's getting killed? I'd be leaving too.
Coming to Florida.
As long as they don't vote Democrat, I don't care if they come. If they do, we don't want you. Breitbart. Khan's London. He's a Muslim that's in charge of London. 2021 was record year for youth murder. Breitbart. Fatal shootings in Sweden remain at record high levels in 2021. Washington Post. 1 in 3 Americans say violence against government can be justified, citing fears of political schism and pandemic. 1/3 of Americans say that violence against the government can be justified. Yeah. Breitbart, census, 1% of California's population moved out of the state in 2021. 1%. Arkamax, gun violence hits 15-year high in Los Angeles, taking lives and erasing hard-fought gains. Weasel Zippers, MSNBC, Fox News only covering theft because they hate black people. Who's the racist now? Yeah. Who's the racist? If they're saying that on MSNBC, right? That's what they're thinking. But we get blamed for this on the right when we're the ones that don't think that way at all. But this is their constant mode of thinking. Black people. Zero Hedge. CNN lost another 38% of viewers in 2021. Too bad. Mail Online killed trying to save $2.75. I got to tell you, before I read this, I really don't have any sympathy on him. None. Killed trying to save $2.75. Moment that New York City subway fare dodger 28 smashed his head and died while trying to jump barriers at Queens Station. They allow these people to do it. Nobody enforces the laws. And so what does he do? He tries to jump over, gets his foot caught on that thing, heads down, dead, over $2.75. I just can't feel bad about it. Man, the city is allowing it. That's what you pay. Mail Online. Meghan McCain. The Capitol riot was shameful, but American democracy was never going to be toppled by a guy in face paint and Viking horns, and everybody except the demented, dishonest Democrat Party knows it. That's the first thing I've ever heard her say that made any sense at all, other than the first part of it, but she said it. Listen, I said this on Thursday, I'll say it again. It is not an insurrection when a bunch of mostly old people go up to the Capitol and are welcomed into the Capitol by the police that were spurred on by FBI the night before, telling them that they need to go and take action. This is not an insurrection, okay? An insurrection is when we have thugs all over the United States last year setting fires to cities, burning federal courthouses, and the U.S. government not charging those. Not one of them. That is an insurrection of the government against the people of this nation. That is an insurrection. There was no insurrection on January 6th as far as those people. It's all just built up and it's bull. Okay, Mail Online. Not like a school trip. Judge slams woman who brought, listen to this, 14-year-old son to the Capitol for the January 6th riot and throws her in prison for 90 days. A lady with her 14-year-old son. That's their terrorism. That's their trying to overthrow the nation, right? And so they give her 90 days in jail for it. Being up there with her 14-year-old son. Can you imagine that? Yes. The FBI admitted that they think they found one gun during the January 6th event. Okay? They admitted they think. They asked the guy, the head of the FBI, in congressional testimony, he said, I think we found one gun. Listen, it is not an insurrection when the only two people that are killed during the riots, I read of another one and I'll include her next week, okay? The only two people that were killed during this supposed riot were murdered by the U.S. government. An unarmed military veteran was shot and murdered by the U.S. government. That is not an insurrection. An insurrection is when a lot of angry people that have the right to carry guns because of their Second Amendment show up and take over the Capitol. That is an insurrection. That didn't happen. From New York Post. Whew, man, this is prophecy at its best. Psycho Squirrel's 48-hour Christmas rampage terrorizes town, injures 18. Yes. The beasts of the earth in the book of Revelation, listen to this, the nutty critter, nutty, ha ha ha, the nutty critter, which has since been dubbed Stripe, after the evil character from Gremlins reportedly did not discriminate in its attacks, lashing out at the elderly, children, and pets alike, and biting them everywhere from heads to legs. Nowhere was safe as the critter would launch at people in the gardens and even chase them down the road. I say that is absolutely nuts. You know what? I don't have a Lesrick here today. Why don't I have a Lesrick for you all? Sorry, Les. Okay, who said it? If you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month. Anybody? He's a U.S. president. Come on. Rough Rider. Teddy Roosevelt, there you go. Okay, we have a bit of irony here for you today, and we will be done. New York Post. New York City COVID inspector booted from bar for failing to show own proof of vaccination. Yes, such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.